You are now entering the world of Blissful Living, broadcasting around the globe and on the Blissful Living Network with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you lacking energy, clarity, and that sense of true well-being? Are you overworked, underpaid, and know that you deserve more in life? You are not alone. Improve your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so that you can step into living the life of your dreams. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living, the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. This is the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and I have a great show for you. And our show is going to be about compassion. And the guest today is Simon Fox, and he has a lot of things that he's going to share with us, but he is a co-author of What Can I Say? A Guide to Visiting Friends and Family Who Are Ill. And I know when we have friends and family that are ill, it can be a little bit stress-provoking for us. And me being in the healthcare profession and a healthcare professional, I've seen it time and time and time again, from the bedside to the home side to, you know, just having to deal with someone that might be ill in your family. And it can be, you know, like I said, quite stress-provoking, and sometimes we get less compassionate with them and ourselves than we should be. So it's going to be great to hear what Simon has to share with us regards to that. But before we get started, I want to welcome you all to the show, and I want to thank the sponsors for this segment of our show. The first one, the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company. They are a holistic health and wellness company specializing in holistic natural medical modalities to help you feel energized, stop the aging process, detoxify your mind, body, have that vitality that you had once upon a time when you were a kid, help you with your eating challenges. Maybe you want to lose some weight and learn how to keep that weight off instead of doing the yo-yo fat dieting stuff. If any of that is ringing a bell with you, or you're having sleep issues, you have trouble going to sleep, you have trouble staying asleep, you have trouble waking up feeling rested and energized, I highly suggest that you connect with the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company, and you can check them out at healthhealingwellness.com. Again, I highly, highly suggest make an appointment with them. They have these free appointments that you can speak to someone for 30 minutes or so and really dive into what may be something that's preventing you to being the best that you can be in taking care of the greatest asset that you have, which is your health and well-being. So again, check them out at healthhealingwellness.com. The other sponsor of today's show is a telecommunications installation company. With all our technology that we have going on today, you know, telecom has really, really transitioned and transformed from the early 90s to, you know, the millennial that we're living in today. And if you are a company or a person that, you know, the backbone of your communication is the network and network distribution that you have within your business, and it's not up to par, or you want to make some changes, you want it to be faster, quicker, better, more efficient, more secure, whatever the case may be, you want to check out alldaycableinc.com. That's alldaycable, I, N like Nancy, C.com. And they've been in business for over 26 years. They're a leading telecommunications installation company in the Silicon Valley, and they have survived anything from the dot-com bust to the real estate fiasco to just being a business thriving in these modern times that we have today. So, again, check them out at alldaycableinc.com. Now, let's get to today's guest. Let me tell you a little bit about Simon Fox. Simon Fox is the executive director of the Adventures in Caring Foundation, or AIC, is pioneering education at the heart. For 30 years, Adventures in Care has taught the art and practice of compassion as a skill that restores well-being and promotes healing. The work is now recognized globally. Adventures in Care is based in Santa Barbara, and despite its small size, it is having a big impact. And this is really, really interesting. Founded by Simon's wife, Karen Fox, in 1984, the nonprofit is most famous for its Raggedy Ann and Andy volunteers who visit local nursing homes and hospitals to lift the spirits of patients who are lonely. What is less well known is who is under those wigs, what they discovered, and how far their influence has spread. Now, many people still think that compassion cannot be taught, considering it's a personality trait that is either there or not. Others think that compassion, or think of compassion as a philosophy or a feeling. Under Karen and Simon's tutelage, though, however, Adventures in Care has taken it a step further. And so I'm going to leave that little hook there for you guys, and I want to just indulge and engage with the wonderful guest that we have today, Mr. Simon Fox. Simon, welcome to Blissful Living. It's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Rochelle. It's my pleasure to be here, and I love the title of your show, and what an aim to have. It's fantastic. So, yeah, let's talk about this, because I'm excited you brought me on to talk about this. A lot of people, you know, they think that, you know, compassion's nice and kind of an optional extra if you got time. But what we've studied and lived and breathed and, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into this program to find out, does love really have a healing power for real? And that's what our whole thing has been, our whole mission has been about, that we've been doing these last, 32 years since Karen founded it, and I've been doing it 30. And it's been an experiment, because we didn't come in with a preset philosophy or approach to this. We wanted to find out, mostly because, I wanted to find out because I did not have the skills that I was seeing in front of me that Karen has, and so do other gifted nurses and physicians and therapists and other people who work in healthcare. You know, you've got a few there who just have this gift of connecting mm-hmm. with patients, you know, helping them feel at ease, helping them feel looked after, and so that the healing process can really begin with that healing partnership. Unfortunately, it seems to be the gifted few who are able to do that, and it's not understood or as easily embodied by a lot of other people. So when I first met Karen, she was doing this work of connecting, and you know, I like to think, like all works of great love, it begins in humble places. And in this case, symbolically, dressing in rags, you know, as Raggedy Ann or Raggedy Andy, was the mm-hmm. deliberate intent was to have a humble stance and create a safe character, and one that is instantly recognizable as, this is going to be a non-medical conversation, because this was going into the hospitals. Karen was going in her lunch hours volunteering, because she understood what it was like to be a patient. She's been one her whole life. She's had health challenges her entire life,
mm-hmm.
And several life-threatening illnesses, all kinds of things. So she really knows what it's like to be there. She also grew up mostly overseas in Ethiopia and Iraq and Italy. Her dad was with State Department, so she learned how to speak, you know, different languages, and learned how to connect with people of different cultures and faiths and languages, and from all and all different age groups. I mean, she was interacting with lepers in the marketplace in Ethiopia when she was 8 and 9 years
mm-hmm.
old. You know, she had a dying young man in her arms when she was 12 in the streets of Baghdad. You know, she grew up in that way, and so she had this amazing gift to connect with people under very adverse circumstances. I did not. My background's in physics. I'm originally from England. I was a typically reserved Brit, and I was clueless about how to do this.
Well,
so
we don't hear, we're not detecting any of that British accent. That
Yeah, it faded on me. I'm one of the few people. It just disappeared, and I can't even. I go back to see my mom in England, and it doesn't even come back. It's traces of it, but it's. Yeah, I think I've become thoroughly Americanized. So.
That's not a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing. I love this country. It's been very good to me. But I started following Karen around, and the way she was interacting with patients was phenomenal to me. I didn't believe what I was actually seeing. I mean, she would be interacting with, for example, a patient who's dying of leukemia in horrible pain.
Mm.
And she's in there talking with this person for about 10 minutes or so, and I hear laughter coming from the room. And they're telling jokes. There is joy in the atmosphere there. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, I was here. I saw what happened. I still don't know what happened. How is this even possible? And she would do this regularly, all the time. And people would open up to her. And it's like, well, why are they opening up to her? What is she doing? Can other people learn this? Or is it just a gift that a few people have? And I think that's the common thoughts even today, is that, well, some people have it, some people don't, and that's the end of the story. We now beg to differ, because over 30 years of practice, we've found out, no, you actually can teach this. So what we did...
So, Simon, so tell us, you kind of like you're giving us a background about with regards to how Karen helped you to see that not only can you learn compassion, you don't necessarily have to be in, a personality trait that you're just gifted with. You can actually learn it. But how did you guys really develop that Adventures in Care? I mean, how did that really begin?
Well, Karen founded it originally because she just took a big giant step on faith and decided this was her life's calling. She had some rather amazing experiences at the very beginning. Her very first visit was astonishing, and I'm not going to go into it now because this is a wonderful story. She actually tells it better than I do. If people, if your listeners want to know it, it's on our website. They can go. They can listen to the story. It's there on video. But she dedicated her life to this, and other people came along and said, we'd like to do this too, because it's fulfilling something that wasn't present and still really isn't very present in a lot of hospitals and healthcare facilities, which is support for the emotional side of healing. I mean, there's good medical care being given, but the patient is also going through a lot of soul searching and a lot of emotional distress. The threat level, I mean, if you're just going to get into the fight or flight response in a hospital, goes into high gear because it's those primal threats that all primates experience, which is, when you have no control over the situation and you really don't know what's coming next and you're facing it alone and there's no escape and you don't know if there's any hope of it getting better, those are the five primal threats that create havoc in the fight or flight system. And so not only is a person ill, but those stressors get worse in a lot of medical environments. So Karen decided, well, what if I could be a source of comfort? What if I could help the mind and emotional and spiritual part of someone work with the healing process and work with the medical care? And so that's what she did, and she wanted mostly to be a source of comfort and upliftment for the folks who are struggling with some very tough stuff, and especially with those who are facing it alone, because quite a lot of patients have very little or no visitors.
That is very true. I mean, with regards to the whole way Western medicine is practiced, I'm just going to put it bluntly, they're not there to take care of your emotional well-being. They're not there to take care of your spiritual well-being. But when you are in a crisis and you're facing an illness or life-threatening disease, that's where, that's the aspect that's missing in the whole component. But they're not there for that. They're here to treat your signs and symptoms, and that's pretty much it. And hopefully you get better, and hopefully you can transition out of the hospital. But it's amazing when you go to a hospital and you think people are getting visitors left and right, and especially if a person has been there for a longer time period, their visitors begin to dwindle, and they don't, and they do feel really lonely and isolated, which is not you know, beneficial to healing and it's not beneficial to the emotional and spiritual well-being. So
well that's said.
Yeah, very true. Very, very true. I'm sorry. So continue telling us, you know.
you said it very well. I mean, that's the exact reason she began this work. And she used a safe character so that people would, you know, I mean, the other factor in when you're in hospital or even in nursing homes too, it can be very, it's certainly humbling. Sometimes it's even humiliating. You got to wear this silly hospital gown that's open in the back. You know, you obviously don't have your A game going.
And, you know, or you do, and you don't know it.
right. And so, dressing in a humble garb. Without saying anything, the patient gets it. It's like, oh, I can let my hair down with you. You know, you're like me. You're connecting with me on my level, and so there's a certain there was a certain anonymity that allowed people to feel safe. You know, Helen, you maybe you're on an airplane and you're not going to see this other person ever again in your life. You can tell them your whole life story because you know it's not going anywhere. It's that kind of set up for the conversation. So basically, she was setting up trust. And so that is fundamental to a meaningful conversation. And so she was doing this. And what happened is I tagged along with her for months, actually. And we were trying to discern what are the ingredients that these gifted people weave into a conversation. And we eventually identified four core ingredients of every conversation, and all four have to be present for the patient to experience compassion. And that's where that's how we look at compassion. It's nice that you're compassionate, and you've got nice warm feelings in your own heart and good intentions, but compassion goes to work and changes things when the other person gets it that you care. So when you've succeeded in conveying something, you've gotten it across to the other person that you're in their corner, that you are truly with them as they're going through this. And that's the art of it, and that's what Karen and other gifted healers have. They are able to get it across to the other person that they have someone on their side to help them on this healing journey. And
so, you have a definition of what, you know, the listeners out there can grasp with regards to what truly would be, I'm going to say, Adventures in Care's definition of compassion?
Well, we actually go back to the original Latin root of the word compassion, which is compati, C-O-M-P-A-T-I. Com, meaning together or with.
Mm-hmm.
Pati, meaning to feel intensely or to suffer. So our definition is the art of being with someone who is suffering. And usually we think of compassion in terms of giving to those people who don't have, you know, food,
right,
medicine, shelter, right? That's compassion. Of course it is. Or doing for people who can't do something for themselves, which most healthcare is based on that. You can't do your own surgery, right? People need help to do that.
Right.
So doing things for people who are unable to do it for themselves, that's compassion too. And absolutely it is. The step further we've taken it is, yes, and compassion is also being with someone as they're suffering. Because the first two can be done a little bit at a distance. I mean, giving to, you can mail in the check. You can mail a parcel of food or a care kit. And it's good that people do that, but it can be done at a distance. And even the doing for can be done at an emotional distance. You can do things for people without really getting engaged with them or knowing much about them. Whereas it's the being with that alleviates that fundamental isolation that people feel when they're in pain. They're not just feeling the pain, they're feeling isolated. There's this wall around them. And in many ways, they're in a different world. You might be in the same room as they are, but you're in two different worlds. You're in your own healthy body. You're going to walk out of there, and they're not. Right? And so they're in a very different place, and it takes an effort to essentially build a bridge over to their world.
Mm-hmm.
Go across it and go, hello, what's it like over there where you are? And that's the art of it that we've been teaching. And those are the four ingredients you could consider like four sections of the bridge that all have got to be present to get over there and figure out what's happening with them. And when you do that, that's when they feel heard. They feel that, oh, this person gets me. They understand what I'm going through. But you don't get there by saying, oh, I understand. you actually
right.
have to be a good listener. You have to engage with them and take an interest in their experience. And that the first ingredient is attention. But by attention, what we mean is the gift of your undivided attention. You are giving it to them, and what you are paying attention to is what's most important to them.
So is it like, I know with a lot of healthcare professionals, there's, you know, particularly in I'm going to say with nurses, there's the aspect of empathy. And empathy is something that I want to say is, it's not really taught, but it's
right.
discussed in nursing school. It's one of like, yeah, when you first start nursing school, or at least when I did all those years ago, it was one of the first lectures that we had with regards to the difference between empathy and sympathy. And, you know, it took a while to grasp the difference between, because sympathy is like, oh, you know, you feel sorry for this person, you know, and you exude, you know, how sorry you are that they're in this situation, et cetera, et cetera. But being empathetic is actually placing yourself in that person's position and really feeling what it might feel like to be in that you know, scenario that person is experiencing, and understanding, you know, what it's about. And so would you say that compassion is a step further along the, you know, would you say compassion is taking empathy just a step further? Are they intertwined? What is your take on that?
Yeah, I would say it's a step along the way. We've identified this pathway to compassion,
mm-hmm.
and empathy is along that road.
Okay.
It begins with bravery. It really does. It takes courage to be compassionate, because it's not just, you know, angels with wings on high kind of thing. It's the courage to descend into some dark places.
Right.
With people. And be able to be with them in those painful places. So it takes courage, and that's why we call it adventures in caring. Quite literally, an adventure, the definition of one is one step outside your comfort zone. Right? That first, you've got to take a step outside your comfort zone. That takes bravery to do that. So that's the first step. And what happens again on an adventure is then you begin to discover things, because you're outside your comfort zone and you're on an adventure. You don't know what's coming next, so your eyes and ears are open and alert, and you're not assuming you already know. You're watching and you're picking up clues. And so you discover things about other people. And as you discover things about the other person, what happens is then you can have empathy for them, because you have a better understanding of what it's like in their life. You know a bit more what it's like to walk a mile in their shoes. And so that's how you build empathy. And then once you know that and you can get a sense of what it's like in their experience, then you can have compassion. You can be with them in that experience, because you've got a sense of what it's about. So that's compassion, and then compassion leads to the formation of healing partnerships. I mean, it's really the essence of relationship-centered care, which produces well-being. And so that's the whole chain of events, if you will, that empathy and compassion, but also bravery and discovery are essential steps along the way, because it takes some guts to understand someone's, you know, other perspective that is entirely different from your own.
Right.
and honestly get it, be interested in that. It doesn't mean that you've got to persuade them to come over to you or you have to go over to them. It's just interesting that people have these amazingly, sometimes profound, sometimes just utterly different perspectives on life that you never expected to come across. And that's the beauty of it. And when you hear their stories, those stories stay with you, and they humanize this experience. Because, you know, coming across painful experiences, and anyone who works in healthcare comes across, you know, a lot of tragedy, a lot of heartbreak.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it can make you, you know, wooden or defensive or arm's length about that if you don't deal with it well. But if you hear the stories and you engage and you develop, you discover things about them and you develop empathy and you find compassion, then you have these amazing stories in your life. That is
so now,
you
guys have chosen, you know, to work with, you know, healthcare providers and future healthcare providers instead of saying just like the general public, so to speak. What was the decision behind, you know, doing that with regards to working with the future healthcare providers or healthcare providers today?
Well, actually, it was an evolution of the program. When we began, and I would say the first 10 years, we were working with the general public a lot. Our volunteers ranged in age from 16 to 86.
Mm-hmm.
All ages, all backgrounds, all kinds of occupations, all kinds of people volunteered. Then it was really the demographics of our Santa Barbara area community. It became more and more difficult to find volunteers who were what we might call mid-career, because their careers were becoming more demanding and people had less time and more people were commuting too, and people don't volunteer where they work. They tend to volunteer where they live and they were commuting in and things like that. It became more difficult. So the decision in many ways was made for us in that sense. But what happened at the same time was we had college students volunteering for us. We just had a handful of them. But they talked to their friends, and gradually, and then we developed connections with faculty at our local university, University of California, Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting a lot out of it. And most of these young people, at an undergraduate level, they were taking the pre-med courses. I mean, most of them think they're going into medical school, or, you know, then they realize how hard it is, and a lot of them decide they'll do something different.
Right.
But they're pre-health professions, and they are smart enough to realize that, well, I can get a good education in medical science, but I still have to talk to people about some very serious issues. If I'm going into oncology, one day I'm going to have to tell somebody they've got cancer.
Right.
And their family, too. And how the heck do I do that? And how do I deal with my own emotions about that? And what if I don't heal somebody? So they know there's some very deep water there that they're about to jump into. And so through our program, they're realizing, oh, I could get some experience and learn what you might call the core skills for the human side of healthcare, you know, when it's personal. You know,
right.
The objective scientific side of healthcare, but there's also the subjective, personal side of healthcare when it's happening to you, and so that's what they needed, and so they started coming to us. They get a tremendous amount out of this program themselves because they're not just listening to a lecture about it. They get a world class training, but then they're volunteering every week.
That's so great.
Yeah,
I mean, because you know, we all know physicians aren't the most compassionate when it comes to bedside manner.
Usually. I mean,
yeah,
a few gifted ones, but yeah, you're right.
Very, very few. And I've worked with a ton of them. And it's not saying anything bad or negative about them because they do great work. You know, they do what they're supposed to do. But I have been placed in situations where the physician didn't want to tell the family that the patient died.
Right.
You know, or the way they delivered the message was horrible. You know, it was
right.
Just like, but that's all they knew how to do. That's, you know,
yeah.
For them, it's kind of like this protective barrier. You know, I'm here, I did my job, I did the best I can. I couldn't make any miraculous changes. Oh, well, you know. And
right.
So you know, I think that, you know, having something like this in a program where it's pre-med or pre-nursing or whatever the case may be actually helps the student, not only with regards to if they continue to decide to go into a career with medicine, but it will help them in just life in general, because there's not a lot of compassion in life. You know, just, you know what I'm saying? It's just,
Oh, I do.
And I think when you develop that, or you learn to develop that aspect, life just becomes a little bit more blissful.
The rest of this beautiful, informative, and wonderful conversation will continue in part two, airing next week. I invite you to join us next week as we continue the conversation.
Thank you for joining Rochelle Marie Lawson on Blissful Living. To contact Rochelle Marie and to find out more about Blissful Living, click on Blissful Living for You link right here on the Blissful Living Network. Catch all the Blissful Living episodes on demand and available for download 24/7 on blissfulliving4you.com. Until next week, may your life be filled with peace, wellness, abundance, and prosperity.